This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial, 92.9 FM, 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio, you can still stay up to date with everything happening here at the station. Download the Odyssey app. It's free to download, free to listen. You can stream live anytime, anywhere. You can even listen on demand. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on Twitter, on X, at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day to you. A happy start of the college baseball postseason.
Yeah, the Syndicate's already firing on the board. I have never been more casual watching college baseball in my entire life than this year, but I got a lot of money on the board, so that's always an encouraging spot to be in. Let's welcome our company to the program. He, of course, is Tim Murray. He's the host of VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. You can also watch him on VSiN's Betting Tailgate Show, Saturdays at 9 a.m. Central Time. Check your local listings. You can also hear him on VSiN Primetime. Download the VSiN Watch app on Twitter, on X, at one Tim Murray. Tim, good day, sir.
Oh, man.
What's happening? That doesn't sound like a good old man.
No, that was you. I haven't watched baseball, but I've got a lot of money riding on it.
Okay.
Hold on, glass houses.
Who told me I've watched no hockey this year, but I keep winning hockey bets and I'm losing all my basketball bets despite the fact that I watch a ton of basketball?
Oh, that'd be me.
That would be you.
Yeah.
Glass houses, man. Come on. Listen.
Yeah, I got some smart people out there feeding me information every once in a while, okay?
Well, I mean, we have one kid that claims he watches college baseball. Is that not an expert?
By the way, I would love to know the differences between your group text and my betting in the fall. I have a hunch that we're very different.
The problem, though, is you have now been an influence on me. The problem is the group chat is a historic, like, they've been watching college football their whole life, and the last few years have been really difficult because the good teams aren't as good. And really what it's been is just a group that's like, I don't care what the number is out of Alabama, let's just lay it. We're not going to lose that much. Like, there was kind of like that attitude. And now I am probably what would be considered the person that if I weren't the leader of the group chat, I would be removed from the group chat because I push back a lot right now.
The voice of reason. I just hope the Syndicate didn't lay 310 with Florida today.
We did not. But that's the problem. The Syndicate was a little
threw them in a parlay.
No, the Syndicate was a little hesitant. We got East Carolina plus 2.5 runs,
okay,
but it was minus 140. We should have just, like there was a lot of passion from the one guy that watches college baseball that Florida was overrated, ECU was a good play, but we didn't take it on the money line.
Ah. So, by the way, for those wondering, I know not everyone driving around in Memphis
this is,
right now.
This is actually a decent college baseball town.
Well, I know. I'm not saying it isn't. I mean, it's SEC country, and 13 of the 16 teams from the SEC are in the NCAA tournament. But yes, East Carolina
up 11-2. Scott Strickland told us, as they should be.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
I liked my favorite thing from Destin was incorporating 13 teams in the college baseball tournament and equating that to
a 12-team playoff.
Yep. A 12-16 team. That was like
that was the
chef's kiss.
That was the did we give up when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? It's like let him go. He's on a roll.
We're like, well, you know, we won the basketball championship, whatever, so obviously rolling. We need more teams in the football tournament.
Would they get 14 in the NCAA tournament?
I thought it was 13 as well.
So we know LSU did not get in. South Carolina did not get in.
That is correct. Man, you're doing all this is impressive.
All right, so we can go this way.
What about the ones in the first four? Did we consider those in?
Those are
or
in
Texas.
Out?
I mean, they got in,
that's
right?
In.
That's Texas
in.
And then so Florida, yes. Georgia, yes. Kentucky, yes. Vanderbilt, yes. Arkansas, yes. A&M, yes. Texas, yes, ish. Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Tennessee. Have I missed anyone? I think they got 14 in.
14.
13 and a half, I guess you could say.
No, it counts, man. Just wait till we get to 76, baby.
They didn't make the bracket. I'm not giving that to Texas. They lost the first four game.
It just means more.
All right, so let's tell everybody what we got coming up on the program. We'll take a look back at the week and also take a look at this weekend, whatever we thought was the biggest story this week, what we think could be the biggest story of the weekend. Then excited to have our boy Blake Topmeyer back. Blake was, I presume, he lives in Pensacola, so I assume he made the drive over to Destin, and I cannot wait to get Blake's thoughts on what he witnessed during the SEC spring meeting. So I'm very excited to talk to him for the first time in a couple of weeks. We'll get him.
Could he give Lane a little sunscreen? Good. He looks like crispy bacon up there, man.
I think that's a stylistic choice.
That's his move.
I think that's the, you know.
That's his Frank Costanza stop short. He's like, no sunscreen, baby. We roll into these meetings crispy.
I mean, I definitely think Lane doesn't consider the panhandle his Florida. Like, Lane's Florida is clearly going to be Tampa South. And so I'm betting he's probably thinking like, this is really just like being in Oxford. I don't really need sunscreen. Like, it's like and also you could talk me into like, you know, Lane's kind of, listen, I'm kind of guilty of this myself. Sometimes you got to start off beach season with that base burn. Like when you just go ahead and you just get burned right off the bat, it really sets the tone for the rest of the summer. Yes, you are inviting skin cancer into the equation, but that's the risk you take.
Talking to a ginger here, man. I get burned.
Ginger or you daywalker?
I don't know what that means.
So daywalker is like Kyle Broflowski, as Cartman told us. He's not a true ginger because he doesn't have pale skin and freckles, but he has red hair. Basically, you can tan a little bit.
Yeah, that would be me. Yeah. I'm not super duper freckly. The gingerness, I don't know if it's the gray that's set in there. The only positive to ginger hair is when you get older,
it kind of goes really, blonde.
You don't really get gray. You just get like, you know, non-ginger.
Yeah.
My kid's like, you're not a redhead. And I'm like, haha, I was. Now I'm reaping the benefits of 20 years of torment.
There you go. But you don't look like you're fresh off the boat from Ireland. Like, you don't look like someone that just got here to avoid the potato famine.
This is correct.
Okay. All right. So we will also get into the list. I think I just saw on Twitter exactly what I've been waiting for like ever since that they started quietly promoting NCAA 26. We got the real cover, so I can't wait to tell you about that. We've also had some NFL transactions that involves a former Tiger. We'll get into games of the weekend. We'll tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. But I think let's start here because I don't know how you feel because you do have the advantage of you do so many different types of sports shows that you can kind of avoid feeling like you're talking about the same thing for 38 hours. But I think this week, quietly, might have been one of the most annoying weeks in sports talk that I can remember in a long time for two key reasons. Number one, I think when we don't, I think what we're realizing in the post LeBron is the league is LeBron era. Mm-hmm. We're doing the same thing that we did post Jordan, which is just waiting for another Jordan. We're now waiting for another LeBron, and it just sends us over a deep end into where the discussion is just like, whose league is it? You know, we keep flip-flopping on everything. Like, I need to know, is Tyrese Halliburton still better than Jalen Brunson, or did that flip last night?
It's really great discussion. And, you know, I joke at times when I go on VSiN, and I'll say this like two or three times a year where I'm like, I love working at VSiN because we don't really dive into stuff.
You don't have
that
to worry necessarily about narrative as much.
But I do miss it sometimes. But I like getting like a little slice of it. I don't want to eat the whole pie. I just want like a little sliver. I'm like, all right, I'll make my case there, and then we'll jump back in. It is pretty tiring because here's the problem, right? And we've had this before, and it's not just exclusive to the NBA. The Oklahoma City Thunder are the best team in the NBA. They're going to win the championship. They're going to be enormous favorites against either the Knicks or the Pacers. And
would you say it was going to be -750 if it's the Pacers and at least 600 if it's the Knicks?
I think they're -700 right now. So, yeah, probably if it's the Pacers, maybe minus. Yeah, probably. I think that's fair.
When's the last? I mean, that's not even as big of a favorite as Denver was, correct, against the Heat?
No, but that was wrong.
Yeah, no, I mean, you and I talked about this.
That was a fantastic slam spot.
Watch out for the Heat. They're hot. Yeah.
Oh, okay. You know, playoff Jimmy. I'm like, okay. Okay, neighbor Nick. I will happily take the Nuggets here. I don't know off the top of my head because those Warriors teams at the peak of their powers were still playing LeBron, so there was probably a little bit of a LeBron tax, even though they were massive favorites, and then they got hurt in the post-LeBron era.
Okay,
right,
so
when they lost to the Raptors.
I've got the answer. This
okay,
will
hold
be
on, hold on, hold on.
Okay,
it's not Spurs over Knicks in '99, is it?
No.
Okay.
It's in the window that you're thinking about. I will say this. It has occurred in the last decade.
Oh, in the last decade. Okay, I'm overlooking it. And they won?
They won convincingly.
All right, who is it? Why am
I blanking? It's the first Durant Warriors.
Over the Cavs?
Yeah, they were -2,000.
Wow. Oh, because the Cavs... Was that the Cavs without Kyrie?
Kyrie had left at that point, yeah, because doesn't Kyrie leave after the title?
That was the second. He left 2 years later. So the last run for LeBron was when they got swept.
Yes.
And I think, yeah, that was the J.R. Smith game, right? Where
he
had, like, arguably the greatest NBA Finals game ever, and then J.R. Smith had a brain fart.
Yes. Did not know what the score was.
He was wearing a Knicks jersey yesterday at the... Because he played for the Knicks, right?
He did. I think that's, like, that's... I would...
Yeah, that's who he is, right?
I think
that's...
you could make the argument if he doesn't have that play that we're talking about with the Cavs, like, I think he's more remembered as a Knick.
Probably. Yeah, I think that's fair.
Also,
I wasn't taking shots at him.
No,
I
just love that he's gone back to college. He's playing college golf at NCAA.
Is he still doing that?
Yeah. It's awesome.
That's awesome.
And
he's like an academic All-American, too. That guy's like a 4-0.
But, like, he brought a tailor-made sponsorship to the team. Like, it's
so great.
It's cool what he's been doing there. So, like, I think...
yeah, it's back to my point, which was, it's... The Thunder, and look, Charles Barkley has tried to, you know, champion, oh, you should be talking about this and this and this, and then Shaq, like, the next day was like, I don't watch the Cavaliers. You know, it's like...
Yeah.
everyone falls into the trap, and they want Anthony Edwards last year to be the face of the league, and he's just not there yet. SGA is better, right?
Certainly right now.
Yeah, I mean,
and I think it's also fair to say this. Like, I don't know one-on-one who the best player is, but SGA's team is so much better that, like, to me, the key difference between Ant and, like, a guy like Jokic, SGA's team and SGA are better than the Nuggets, but you saw with Jokic truly being the best player alive, he was able to make it a fight.
Yeah.
The Wolves weren't even able to make it a fight.
I almost think, and I'm going to do the thing, but I almost think that is a testament to Jokic being the best player in the world.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think if Jokic isn't that good, the Nuggets are not, they don't even make it, like, it's entirely possible that's going to be, I think it's most likely that that is going to be the hardest series the Thunder have.
I felt like people, and there were lots in my life who did this, were trying to crap on the Thunder because they struggled against the Nuggets, and I would flip it, and I would say the brilliance of Jokic was on display that he could drag a team with, honestly, what, 2.5 players, essentially. They had no depth. Aaron Gordon got hurt. Michael Porter Jr. was on a milk carton. Like, it was really impressive to see Jokic against a team like that and force a game seven, and then they just ran out of gas and they were facing a really good team. And then we saw what Oklahoma City's about. Like, yeah, they lost game
three
by 40. Cool. They went, turned around and won game five by a billion. And game four was amazing. And I'm not saying the Thunder are the 96 Bulls, but they're one of the better teams in recent memory because they're elite defensively. They've got a superstar in SGA. And look, Jalen Williams, because he went to, you know, a WCC school, people don't really know who he is. The dude's an all-NBA player. He's really, really good.
Well, I think what actually frustrates me is I understand conversations that normal fans have. Like, I'm not saying I'm above that. But I think what has irritated me is I actually think there are interesting things happening, particularly in the Eastern Conference series. And we're still falling back into this trap of, we don't actually talk about the basketball. We talk about, like, basketball adjacent stuff. Like, for instance, the fact that Thibodeau is kind of acknowledging, when I have Brunson and Towns on the floor at the same time, that's been a problem for us getting stops. And they're trying to navigate that differently. Thibodeau, who is always hesitant to go to his bench, has started to use his bench more. And whether or not these types of adjustments are something that Indiana, you know, like, to me, it's like, did last night actually flip the series? Like, I don't know, but I do know this. If Indiana doesn't hold serve and doesn't close out at home, I feel pretty good that I will probably be betting New York in game seven. Now, is that partly a hedge because I have the series price for the Pacers? Like, maybe, but it does feel to me like if the Pacers have another bad first half, like, I do think the pressure really, really ramps up on them. And to a point in which they haven't really had pressure on them really this entire playoffs.
Yeah, they've been playing the kind of no one believes in us card.
Correct. And they've just been tremendous front runners. I mean, right? They won both the previous series in five, correct? Did Milwaukee got one game, I think, right?
Milwaukee got one. And then the closeout game was the first of the three improbable comebacks. The Cleveland got one. That was a game three, yep, in Indiana. And then, yeah, now New York's got two. And thankfully, they did get two on multiple fronts. Number one, I host the Saturday show, and that would have not been a fun Saturday show to talk NBA Finals on Thursday coming up. So thank you, New York, for taking care of business so we do have a playoff game on Saturday night. And also, I had over 5.5 games, so that came home too.
Well, I mean, to me, like, though, this is kind of, I think, the other annoyance. It's like the people that insist upon Oh, man, Indiana, Oklahoma City, like, watch out ratings. Like, who cares?
Did we talk about this on Tuesday? I can't remember. Because I had this, and you mentioned I do a lot of different hits, and I do this show in Milwaukee, so I think I might have done this quasi-rant. When did we as sports fans become enamored with ratings? Who gives a bleep? I don't work for ABC, CBS, Fox, ESPN. I work for a network, but we don't have television rights. Who cares? Like, I like college baseball. I'm going to watch college baseball. I like college football. I like weird late night college football games and college basketball games. As a sport fan, why do we give a crap that LA or New York or Boston or the state of Texas is involved in the NBA Finals? The two most deserving teams this postseason are going to be playing each other in the NBA Finals, and I think it's going to be a very... I don't know if it's going to be a series that's going to be epic, because I do think Oklahoma City will win and win quicker than anticipated, in the sense that it won't go seven, but I actually think these games are going to be competitive.
So I think the answer to this is, number one, I do think TV has always been, like, television executives, producers, I think they've always been aware of ratings, because I think that is what's driven so much of content. But where I think it has become part of the everyday talking points is ratings started to get used against sports that you didn't like. So, for instance, remember when it was very tribal of NFL versus college football? We had this weird thing where you couldn't watch football on Saturdays and Sundays. You know, there was, you were either a college football person or you're an NFL football person. Well, ratings would obviously get used there, but it's like, well, if you're comparing college football to the NFL, like, okay, it's not going to be as big, but if you compare college football to the rest of sports, it's massive. And then I think where it really gets used on the NBA is whether or not he acknowledges it. The NBA, Adam Silver, and even to a certain degree, David Stern prior, they were obsessed with television ratings. And it was kind of a talking point for them to justify their popularity. And then when they started having television problems, it started getting used against them. That, to me, seems to be where it largely stems from. And then I also wonder, to a certain degree, if part of it is in the back of everyone's mind is like, will games get fixed because they don't want these teams in?
Right, and that's always the conspiracy theory.
Right.
Oh, you know, the Knicks have to win this series. Well, no, they don't. If they're not better than the Pacers, they're not going to win the series. And we'll see how it all plays out. If they lose this series, it's not because there was a fix.
If the thing was fixed, how did the Lakers get beat in five in the first round? And, you know, to me, it's like, if it were fixed, it would be fixed so that Boston would come out of the East and so that the Lakers or the Warriors would come out of the West.
Right. I mean, LeBron James would be in the finals. I mean, he was for, what, eight straight years, because he was the best player on the planet.
Correct.
His team was better than everyone in the Eastern Conference. But then they got to the finals and they lost. You know, if you're a conspiracy theorist, the Heat losing to the San Antonio Spurs and essentially breaking up that team, not great for your conspiracy theory, right?
Yeah.
But it's perplexing to me at times that if you're a sports fan, just watch the games. And I'm not saying you can't be intrigued by, you know, the soap opera that is NBA trades and free agency.
Yeah, the palace intrigue.
Right. I mean, look at the Luka Doncic deal. That was the talking point of Super Bowl week. It was the biggest story. It was a trade. And I do think an issue that the NBA has, and we've discussed this on the show, is that the soap opera aspect to the NBA is bigger, I think it's bigger than any sport out there, right? Because one player can change a team or the belief that that team will be good or bad very, very drastically. And, you know, a lot of these players have big personalities. We know who all these players are. And their free agency since, you know, I don't know if it goes back to or before the decision, but you had LeBron, his decision to go to Miami, then the Kevin Durant thing. And all of these moves have become really the soundtrack of summers, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I
saved our butts at times as sports talk show hosts, for sure.
I think if you're asking me, like, what is patient zero, I would say it was Stern's decision to market the name on the back of the jersey more than the name on the front of the jersey. But there's no question the decision ramps it up to a level that we've never seen before.
And you could, yeah, I mean, and...
And then Durant leaving, going from a team that had a lead in the fourth quarter of Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals to the team that you lost to that wins the finals, like, that I think, that really shaped, like, how we think about off seasons.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And he could be on the move this off season too. And then you've got, like, to be honest, when you look at, and I mean, full disclosure, I don't really spend time watching the shows in the morning, but I understand that those people make lots of money and they want to make headlines. It's more appealing to talk Giannis speculation than to go X's and O's and why Alex Caruso is the X factor to the Oklahoma City Thunder's run to their first title in franchise history.
I guess so. What is confusing to me is, what is it about the nature of basketball that makes us not necessarily talk about the games? Because, like, contrast it with football. Like,
I know.
If you look at...
Because the nerdiness of football has never been more popular.
Correct.
Right?
And then
the Orlovsky and Ryan Clark and breakdowns.
I'd argue the nerdiness of baseball has never been more popular. And even think about it in these terms. It's not just an NBA issue. Like, what is the ultimate driving conversation force of college basketball? It's the rate, you know, it's net ratings. It's it's not, well, why did this team beat that team? Like, what do they do? What do they present challenges? Like, who are teams that would give them? Like, we're not actually discussing the basketball side of it. We're discussing, like, it's to a lesser degree because it's not soap opery. But in the end, what we were discussing with the ratings is the drama of it. Like, is this team in? Is this team out?
And I think if we ultimately get, by the way, Arkansas down 1-0 to North Dakota State in the first inning.
Don't
watch out.
Don't let the Bison get hot.
Yeah.
Bison's Arkansas, Bison's plural, right? There's never like, you don't have Bisons. It's deer, right?
The Buffalo Bisons are a minor league baseball team that famously made fun of itself when they asked John Oliver to remake their team, saying that they don't even make sense grammatically. I think North Dakota State is just the Bison.
I think that's right.
But yeah, Wupik-Suey down 1-0. Watch out, upset alert. They were minus 3,500 favorites, Arkansas was today.
Yeah.
I'm going to go on a limb and say Arkansas should be fine still. But if it is Pacers Thunder, I think it's going to be, I wish it was going to be a little bit more competitive in that standpoint, but, like, I still think it's going to be a hell of a series. And lastly, I'll say this, like, as you joked, I don't know a thing about hockey from a schematic standpoint, but what I do know is when I watch it in the postseason, I am wildly entertained. And this Stanley Cup, while I'm sure we won't discuss it at length here on this show, because why would we? Because it's Edmonton and Florida. Just turn it on every night because it's going to be a hell of a series.
Well, I mean, we also can kind of, you know, there's still kind of a USA-Canada element, not in the sense of, oh, it's Florida versus Edmonton. It's a U.S. team versus a Canadian team. But really, it's like the leader of Canada now is taking on the leader of Team USA.
That is true.
And that rolls into, and that's going to roll into the Olympics next year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we had the Four Nations, and that was a wild success, which we've discussed at length. Congrats on it. It was a one-off, and everyone obviously wanted to spin that into how to remake everything that's wrong in the world. I do have an issue with the whole Canada versus the U.S. thing. You do know if you just do like simple mathematics.
Oh, I assume what, half of the Panthers roster is Canadian?
Well, yeah, there's six Canadian teams. Like, there's 26 American teams. Do the math. They're going to win the Stanley Cup more often. It's not like no Canadian plays for an American franchise.
This isn't like a system.
What are we doing here?
This isn't like a system where Canada has an inherent advantage because, like there's a draft. Y'all realize this, right? Like, it's not like, oh, the Canadians get to sign more Canadians. Like, it's
the best player on the Winnipeg Jets was an American in their goalie, Connor Hellebuck. The best player on many franchises in America are probably Canadian. And I'll just hate to make your mind explode here.
But Sidney Crosby is from Pittsburgh, right?
No, Canadian.
No way.
Yeah.
Huh.
If the six Canadian, I think it's six, right? Six Canadian franchises.
George, correct. So Edmonton, Winnipeg, Ottawa, Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver. Did I get them?
Correct.
And Calgary, seven.
Calgary, right? seven, sorry.
Yes. Calgary.
Also, I was checking Florida. Not even half or a quarter. They only have like nine Canadian players. They're a very European team.
Okay.
Big, big Euro team over there.
But I would presume the largest contingency is no other country has more players than Canada, right, on that roster?
Yeah. The rest are kind of spread out.
Yeah.
That's why I know it's painful for the country to our north that none of their franchises have won a title since 1993, but it's not like they haven't had the cup come back to the country. They bring it back there every damn year because every damn team who wins has Canadians on the roster.
Well, and also it's like every time we do an international competition, they win.
And when the Toronto Raptors won in 2019, it wasn't like, hey, Kawhi Leonard, what a Canadian. No, he's American. You know, it's like, what are we doing?
All right, let's take a quick break. The other thing that was, I think, incredibly annoying this week was all of the talking points coming out of Destin, Florida. So let's talk about it with Blake Topmeyer next, right here on Jeff Wright & Company.
Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus TNCs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Tune on FM, ESPN. Blake Tomars, the senior national college football columnist for the USA Today Sports Network. You can follow him on Twitter on X at @BTopMeyer. His podcast, SEC Football Unfiltered. Episodes available each and every week wherever you get your podcast. Back from vacation. And I guess, Blake, let's start here. Was that the weirdest SEC spring meetings you ever covered?
Yeah, probably just from the sense of there were so many important things I felt being debated. You know, some years it feels like we're really discussing minute topics, but you know, there were really big topics being debated this year, including the future format of the college football playoff, the whole 8-9 debate on the conference schedule, and then, you know, some bigger picture issues like the House settlement that is still yet to be approved. But yet there was no action on anything, right? And that's so often what happens at spring meetings. So in that way, it was familiar. Like, oftentimes there's these big issues that we don't get a verdict on. But the debate, I think, was maybe more heated than ever around certain issues this year. Sometimes, like, consensus forms, but a vote doesn't happen. But I thought on the playoff format in particular, we left spring meetings without a consensus from coaches as compared to ADs and even among coaches and among ADs themselves.
Well, I wanted to ask about that. Was that by design? Because I kept wondering, it's like, are they taking a page out of like activist playbook where it's like you take hot button issues, you make a lot of noise about it. But like, I don't know, like I just couldn't quite figure out if it was by design or if they were actually kind of showing how dysfunctional it really is, because the bigger story to me was even within the league, like forget what the Big 12 wants for the playoff. Like it felt like even within the league, there wasn't a consensus.
Absolutely. I don't know that it was by design. I think if we're dealing with like a lot of high level thinkers, then yes, we could say it was by design. But in reality, I don't think it was by design. But I think what stumped me coming into the meetings was that the SEC, at least from the administrative level, the AD level, seemed to be on board with this auto bid plan from the Big Ten. And it just stumped me as to why ADs would really like this, because it restricts the SEC from accessing 9 of the 16 bids. But I do think genuinely like ADs are kind of interested in that plan. And I don't think it was by design, but I think it was like coaches are bogged down in their own stuff, right? Like transfer portal, recruiting, all this stuff. And I think like you come to these spring meetings and then finally they hear about the plan that like their bosses are kind of favoring. And it's like, wait a second, we're getting on board with a plan where we can't access 9 of the 16 bids. Why would we go for that? Which is kind of why I thought all along, like, why the heck would the SEC go for this? And I think that's what the coaches kind of spoke up and realized was, no, the 5+11 model in which the SEC mathematically is eligible for up to 12 bids in a 16-team playoff, and realistically, in some years, could pursue 8 or 9 bids, like that is the model the coaches more prefer. And I don't think like Yeah, like I think we could say like, oh, was this some sort of Machiavellian effort to like, and the SEC really wanted the 5+11 all along, but no, I don't think so. Like I think some of these ADs do actually want the auto bid model. It's just like when coaches caught wind of this, because they're not following, you know, every inch of development on this like we do in our industry. Like they're out there recruiting, they're out there working the portal, and they find out like, wait a second, what? This is what we like? No. We don't like this. So I think it was much more organic and less orchestrated.
So tell me if you buy this, because I have a working theory. And I think it's also important to note, I don't think all all 16 SEC athletic directors want the same thing. Like
sure,
I think it seems obvious the interests of Mississippi State are not going to be aligned with the interests of Texas. But forget the 5 versus 11. When I started hearing about the what I've been making the joke, the soccer formation playoff plan where 1 and 2 get the double bye and 13 plays 16, 14 plays 15 for the right to get into the first round of the bracket. When I started like trying to say, take a moment, be like, okay, what's going on here? I think what was going on is that a lot of these ADs, they're just so obsessed with creating more inventory to sell. And so what that would be is, okay, we need to figure out a way. It's almost like you go to the end and it's like, how do we reverse engineer this? All right, we don't want to give up the SEC championship game, so we got to keep that. What's something that we could do that rewards the champion? It's like, well, the double bye. Okay, cool. We also want to sell these new play-in games. What can we do there? Like it was almost, and then it's like the SEC Big Ten Challenge. Like, we're only interested in that if we can find a television partner that will pay us for it. It's like, I feel like that is kind of what I actually am interested in, is the fact that so many of these ADs are obsessed with creating more revenue. And I feel like that's the bigger story, whereas like everyone else is kind of looking at like formats and whatnot. But it's like, even in the SEC, where, you know, they're quote unquote as rich as anyone, they're still the administrators are still very, very concerned and acting like they're kind of like broke and need more money.
I totally agree. And we didn't hear it laid out quite this much, but when you ask coaches, like, why are you and your ADs not on the same page? So multiple coaches said like, well, my job's to win games and pursue national championships. The AD's job's to make money, you know? And so like, I think that's where some of the disconnect is. And like what you're talking about, I think is spot on. The ADs are all caught up in creating more inventory to sell. I think that is, you nailed it with that. And again, I can say like this auto bid model doesn't really make sense for the SEC, and I don't think it does. They don't need this model. I think it helps the Big Ten more than it helps the SEC. But to your point, you can create more inventory with that model by adding these play-in games. You know, now you turn conference championship Saturday into play-in Saturday. And so boom, there's a couple play-in games to sell, and you drag out the playoff by trying to award these double buys. And so you're basically creating another round for the playoff. And so I agree with you. I think that's sort of where some of this disconnect is, you know, the ADs are wrapped up in creating more inventory. And is there a demand for that? I don't know. I mean, I guess people, you put football on the TV, people are going to watch it. But what I don't hear is like, I don't hear fans saying they want play-in games. And maybe once they saw them, they would like it. I don't hear fans saying that they want non-conference games turned into glorified exhibitions, which is what would happen if 13 of your 16 bids are decided by conference standings and play-in games. Mm-hmm. These non-conference games then that you're trying to package up and sell, it's like, well, they're exhibition games. Let's call it what it is, basically. So, you know, I don't hear a demand from that, from your fan base, but I sometimes don't know if ADs see all that, right? It's like they have this this focus, like you say, of how to create more inventory, how to create a safe environment for teams to play tougher non-conference schedules. Well, when you determine most of the bids based on conference standings, well, then all of a sudden you create a safe environment to create to play these SEC Big Ten games. But are those games going to matter as much? Are they going to mean as much? I don't know. I think that's the risk you run. And that's what, like, I think athletic directors and college sports officials assume that you can do any amount of tinkering with the product and put college football on the television and people will still watch it. And that might be true. You know, they might add these play-in games. They might turn the playoff into like this 5-round thing. They might turn non-conference games into glorified exhibitions. And maybe people will still watch it because it's college football and because it's on TV. I don't know. I think that's what administrators believe, but it hasn't really been put to the test yet.
Blake Topmeyer joining us here. Blake, you mentioned it. I don't know if it was just Brian Kelly who pointed it out, but the possibility of this SEC Big Ten challenge, so to speak. And once again, you know, Jeffrey and I have talked about this, and we love this sport so much. And Texas, Ohio State, that's why we love this sport.
Especially Michigan, at 11 a.m.
Well, yeah. That's a bit frustrating. Ted, you could partially blame Texas for not saying we want to play on Sunday. But regardless, Michigan, Oklahoma, primetime week two. That should be cool. But like, who out there is like, you know what I really need to see? I need to see Vandy and Northwestern. I need to see this scheduling agreement. And it's kind of like, you know, the SEC-ACC challenge. We did get Auburn and Duke at Cameron. That was fantastic. Mm-hmm. We got Alabama and UNC. Heck yeah. We also got Cal-Missouri. We also got, you know, South Carolina, Boston College. So I guess where are we on this? Because it doesn't feel like we need it. The best programs, if they want to play each other, they can play each other. Alabama,
nothing's
Florida,
stopping them.
Right. It's just like, why do we need this agreement so that we are forced to get the 17th best Big Ten team against the 14th best SEC team?
I think when teams are in, let me say this first. I don't think there's going to be an edict from the conferences that this has to happen. I do think what you're suggesting is the likelier avenue of teams are left to their own devices to do their scheduling and maybe encouraged to play each, go across conferences and do Big Ten SEC. But I think we're a ways away, and it may never happen, a true Big Ten SEC challenge. I don't know if I see the schools giving up their non-conference scheduling autonomy. But in answer to your question of why do we need it, I think if left to their own devices, there are a lot of schools who will choose the path of least resistance if given the opportunity. Pop quiz, how many Power Four non-conference opponents is Ole Miss playing this year? Answer?
Zero.
Zero.
Oh, but they played Wake last year.
Well, and then Wake canceled the game, and there was this bizarre, like, war of words between the two schools. It's like, this is sad.
Yeah, and I get it. Like, okay, yeah, you canceled the game, but that's the difference. Like, in having, like, if you could have an actual challenge, right? You couldn't cancel the game, right? It's like, look,
by the way, Wake
no
did nothing.
The game. You got to play it.
Wake did what was written in the contract that they could do.
Yeah, and Nebraska canceled Tennessee, right? If it's an edict, you have to play this challenge, then Nebraska and Tennessee would be playing, right? And so, yeah, I don't know that there's a huge demand for Vanderbilt Northwestern, but is there any less demand for Vanderbilt Northwestern than there is for Vanderbilt Virginia Tech or whoever Vanderbilt's going to play? Probably not, you know? I mean, and I think you would get these other matchups that would be fantastic. And yes, you could schedule them anyway. Are teams going to? I don't know. They're left to their own devices, and some teams are willing to do it and some teams aren't. Whereas if it was ordained, you have to do it. And there's no backing out of it. The game's scheduled. You got to play it. And yeah, not all the matchups would be great. But the other thing I think I like about it is, particularly if we're going to persist with an at-large format, which I prefer, more at-large bids, I think is better. There's all this squabbling at the end of the year about who's got the best conference and should a 9-3 team from the SEC get in over an 11-1 from the Big Ten that didn't have the toughest schedule. I think if you can point to this challenge thing, and it's not everything, but if the SEC goes 14-2 in the SEC Big Ten challenge, like it did in the SEC ACC challenge in basketball, went 14-2, I think that is a giant feather in the cap when you're trying to get your bubble teams into the playoff. Because let's face it, most of those final at-large bids in a given year are going to come down to teams between the Big Ten or the SEC. We saw it last year. You know, part of the conversation was Indiana or one of these 9-3 teams from the SEC. Yes, SMU was the other one in that mix, but four of the five teams kind of dominating the conversation, I guess four of the six if you throw in Miami, but four of the six were from the SEC or Big Ten. And I think that's going to be common in a lot of years. If we persist with an at-large model, is it's going to be teams from those two conferences, you know, being in the debate for the so-called last teams in. And I do think that would be an interesting data point if you had 16 of those inter-conference clashes like you do in basketball. I mean, that set the tone for the SEC getting as many bids as it did in the basketball tournament this year, was that 14-2 record against the ACC in the challenge. And I think it would be a valuable data point. You know, are we talking about Vanderbilt, Northwestern getting in the playoff? Probably not. But you add up all those games, and I do think it maybe paints a little bit of a picture of who's got the stronger conference in a given year. And if you're splitting hairs for some of those final bids, that's a useful data point, much more of a useful data point than Ole Miss, I think, playing Washington State is going to be.
We're talking with Blake Topmeyer, the senior national college football columnist for the USA Today Sports Network. Blake, I think there's this prevailing narrative that Greg Sankey is kind of a puppet master of college athletics. Like, he bends the sports to his will. You know what I actually thought was interesting this week? Is you realize it's not a ceremonial position, but like, you do realize this idea that he just announces something and it will happen is just simply not true. He still has to represent the will of his schools, and they don't agree and whatnot. Like, I just thought it was an interesting week for the idea that Sankey is like some type of, you know, all-powerful wizard that can just bend everything to his will, because you saw, like, this week, like, to your point, they didn't actually accomplish anything other than making a lot of noise.
Right, and Sankey has wanted 9 conference games for multiple years now, and so, yes, if he's this all-powerful figure, the czar, well, then the SEC would have 9 conference games. But to your point, like, he answers to the membership, and the memberships are the ones that – Sankey gets a voice. He doesn't get a vote. And he wanted 9 conference games, I believe, 2 years ago. His membership didn't, and they persisted at 8. And now we don't even have to speculate what Greg Sankey wants. He is on the record saying, ending all doubt, he said he wants 9 conference games. But I don't know if he's going to get it. I mean, I'd say it's a coin flip as to whether the SEC goes to 9. So I think you're right. Like, in the grand scheme of college athletics, he probably is the most powerful figure. But being the most powerful figure in college athletics is not equivalent to being Roger Goodell in the NFL, probably, right? I still think you would have more power.
And even Goodell doesn't get his way a lot. I mean,
right,
you know what I mean? Like, Goodell,
he has to answer, deal with the owners. That is true. But, and the other thing I'm wondering, we default to calling Greg Sankey the most powerful figure in college sports. And I think he still retains that title. But if Tony Petitti gets this auto bid format that he's wanted from the start, and I think works much better for the Big Ten, certainly the Big Ten benefits from it, I think, more than the SEC would. If he's able to get that across the finish line, I'm ready to take the crown away from Greg Sankey and call Tony Petitti the most powerful man in college sports, because he lets Sankey take all the arrows out there at the podium, and he's behind the curtain pulling the strings on this auto bid format, and there's more unanimity within the Big Ten that this is what they want, whereas the SEC is not even sure they do want this format. But if he's able to pull this off and get this auto bid thing in, I'm ready to hand over the crown. It's Tony Petitti is the most powerful man in college sports. And here's what's interesting is, like, the SEC kind of has the swing vote. I'm kind of redirecting your point here, but I think it stands. The SEC sort of has the swing vote in this whole playoff debate, because we know what the Big Ten wants. And we know now that the Big 12 and the ACC don't want that. They want the 5+11 format. The Big Ten wants the AQ format. I mean, to me, it's like the SEC's got to decide what it wants, and that's what's going to happen. If the Big Ten and the SEC want one thing and they are aligned, you're going to hear a lot of squabbling from the Big 12 and the ACC. But, I mean, what are you going to do? I don't know. I guess you could try to sue them, but that'll drag on forever. I think the Big Ten and the SEC will get what they want. But if the SEC swings over and says, actually, we're aligned with you, Big 12 and ACC, we like this 5+11 format, what's the Big Ten going to do? Going to take its ball and go home? I don't think so. I don't think they're going to stage their own playoff. I don't know that would be a wise move from them. I think eventually they have to come aboard. So to me, you know, the SEC's kind of got the swing vote. But to your point about power, I think the SEC is probably the most powerful conference, which by default makes Greg Sankey as the face of that conference, kind of the most powerful figure. But yeah, if he wants something and his membership doesn't mean he always gets his way.
Before I let you run, Blake, you mentioned it and just kind of tie into that. Is this a great tactic by the Big Ten? Like, are they just being brilliant? I'm trying to figure out, like, they're just sitting back and be like, you know, everyone thinks we're kind of working hand in hand with the SEC, but it's wildly quiet out of the Midwest when it comes to all of this expansion talk. And the SEC's down there, you know, taking, as you said, taking all the arrows. So is this a stroke of brilliance by the Big Ten, or is what do you make of their, quietness right now?
Yeah, I think if it works, it has to be hailed as a stroke of brilliance. And actually, I think if they get this plan in, again, I don't think the SEC needs this plan. I don't think they really benefit much from this auto bid plan. I do think the Big Ten, they could benefit. You look at this past season, the sixth place team in the Big Ten was Iowa. Iowa, they had no shot at a 16-team playoff. And, you know, we could have 16 all at large. We could have 5 plus 11. The only way Iowa has a shot at the playoff is if you get this auto bid thing across the finish line, and then Iowa at sixth place in the standings gets a chance to get into the playoff with a play-in game. And, oh, by the way, even if your third place team loses, maybe they backdoor their way in and get the at-large. And so I think, like, that's the thing with the Big Ten, right? Like, it's a league where, like, all the focus is on about four teams. And I don't think year to year that those four teams are going to change all that much. Like, one might slide up, slide down, but for the most part, you kind of know who drives the narrative in the Big Ten. And the SEC, you could say that a little bit, but I don't think as much. And I think, like, 5 through 10 in the SEC are going to be in playoff contention more years in an at-large model than what 5 through 10 would be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.